Good morning. This Sunday morning is Mothering Sunday morning. Welcome all those mothers, grandmothers, and those who have provided a motherly influence in our families. As we give thanks to God this morning for our earthly mothers, so we give thanks for our home churches as they prepared us for life ahead. Welcome also to those who are unable to join us here but join us online. In the Bible story of Christ's birth, it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 19, Mary remembered all those things and thought deeply about them. Doesn't that remind us this morning of our own family and our own mothers? As we take part in this service today, help us to remember and give thanks for all the goodness and guidance that has been given to us through the years.
Today's reading comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 to chapter 4, verse 6. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
So we continue this series looking unto Jesus all the way through the book of Colossians. We are nearly at the end. Next week we'll finish us in this series as we study through the book. And whenever we get to this stage and we begin to look back, we begin to see all the things that we've kind of talked about, heard, learnt, and so forth. So the big mega themes that we've been talking about are the things of sufficiency and supremacy. It was interesting. Didn't know I was going to do this. It was interesting during the week in a conversation in our house. Never I said, "Have we? What's the things that's come out of this study that we've been doing in church?" And one of my, what did you say?
I did the best for everyone.
It wasn't a quiz, but Rebecca immediately. I wasn't going to name you, but anyway, here we are. Rebecca immediately went. The mega themes are supremacy and sufficiency. With that tone of voice. But we've been repeating those things over and over again because actually those are the things that we need to imbibe, the things that we need to take on and into ourselves. That sense of the sentence of endurance, patience, and joy all being in the same sentence, we know that endurance and patience come together. But the sense of joy in the midst of trouble, how do we have that? Why do we have that as believers and as Christians? The book of Colossians tells us because Christ is in us and we are in him. A couple of weeks ago, we encouraged you to pray very specifically for another individual and to tell them that you are praying for them. And because we see that as an encouragement, don't we? Whenever we know that someone's been praying for us, it kind of lifts us a little bit. We think, well, someone else is thinking, not just thinking about me, but they're praying for me. We heard that Jesus is everything. And that adventure of him being everything and in everything is an adventure that we do together. We've been encouraged to marvel at Jesus, to set time aside, to take ourselves to a quiet spot, to marvel at him, to be stopped in our tracks, in our daily routines, and to go, wow, that's amazing. the way that sense of creation might catch our breath, to allow Jesus to catch our breath. We've reiterated our strapline, knowing Christ better and to make him better known. Because the Christian never outgrows Jesus. There is always more of him. That's why the book of Colossians and the Apostle Paul encouraged us to overflow with Jesus. We are to overflow with him because whenever we marvel at him, we realize that we can never outgrow him. And that we saw that we're hidden in Christ for two reasons. One, he protects us in those moments whenever we need it. And two, so that others might see him first and not us. Because he lives in us, and he that is in us is greater than he is in the world, then whenever people look at us, they see Jesus. In our words, in our actions, in our everyday lives, it points them to something else. A bit like what we talked about, the stained glass windows are not just stained glass windows. They point to another story. They point to something else. They remind us to think and to marvel at something else. And last week we talked about the things that we are to put off, things like hatred and jealousy, and to put on love and compassion instead. We were challenged last week to replace those things that are negative in our lives with those things that are positive. But ensuring that we do, because if we take away the negative things without the intention of replacing them, there's a vacuum, and the vacuum gets filled really quickly. So this week, the penultimate week, we're thinking about living out Christ as Lord. So let's pray before we do that. Father God, we thank you that you are indeed present with us. We thank you for all of those things that you've reminded us of throughout this book of Colossians. And today, as we consider what it means to live out our lives in you as our Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would inspire us, direct us, and shape us into who we need to be. In your name, amen. So what does that mean, to live out Christ as Lord? It's to live in a victory. It's to live with a different mindset. It's to live with a different step in our gate. It's to live that whilst we feel the turmoil of the world around us, while we feel the oppression of the world's cares and burdens placed upon us, whilst we might find ourselves in situations that we find really difficult and hard, we have to remind ourselves that we know the ending of the story, that there is victory at the end because of what Jesus has already done on the cross. And so in a sense, to live Christ as Lord is to live that victory in our everyday lives. Yes, it's to see and to recognize and to realize all of those other things that are happening around us, but also to proclaim that Jesus is supreme, sufficient, and is victorious in the midst of it. Often we know that he's victorious, but sometimes we can live lives as if we've been defeated. Often we might know that he's victorious, but sometimes we live lives as if we're defeated. That's what the scriptures try to describe in terms of stepping out in faith, in a wholehearted trust of the things that we don't yet see, but that we know in our hearts. N.T. Wright, one of the greatest theologians of our generation, says this: the task of the church is to get on with implementing the victory of the cross. And if we grasp that vision and live by it, we will be able at last to address some of the problems in the church and the world that loom so large and seem so intractable. The battle has been won. Let's get on and implement it. Let us follow our victorious Lord wherever he goes. That challenged me this week as I read that. The task of the church is to get on with implementing the victory of the cross. But sometimes we can be bogged down with the task of the church being so many other things that we forget to proclaim the victory of the cross through all of those things that we're already doing. We've learned lots through this book. We've went through that kind of recap at the beginning, but through this book of Colossians, the word Lord is used so many times. It says that he is the Lord of creation, he's the Lord of the church, he's Lord of the Christian, that he rules, he reigns, and he governs, that he is our master. Those set Christ apart and aside and above in a way that sometimes we just carry on as if, well, do you know what? I know all that, but sure, what impact does that have on me now? He's Lord of creation, Lord of the church, Lord of the Christian. He rules, he reigns, and he is sovereign. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords over the whole universe, over the whole of the created order. And if that's the case, then he certainly should be Lord of me. That's why repentance is key, that seeking the Lord, that turning around, that setting our faces towards him. And sometimes we see repentance as a simple act that we carry out together at the start or near the start of our service. But it's more than that, isn't it? It's that complete turning around. It's the effect whenever we realize that what we are doing is not right, and so we must stop it, and we must fill the vacuum of stopping it with the things of God instead. And in that simple yet profound act of repentance, we give up the power and the control that the devil might have over us. And we ask Jesus to be our Lord, our Savior, the one who rules, who reigns, and who is sovereign. But we live in a world where giving up control doesn't always seem like a good thing. In fact, if we give up control, it's seen as weakness, isn't it? You know, you only have to think of situations globally, whenever two major leaders of huge countries in the world say to each other, my button's bigger than your button, and I'm not giving my button up because my button's bigger than your button. Well, we bring that down to the minutiae of our everyday lives, and sometimes we don't want to give up control of the things that we have control of because it might be seen as weakness. But in fact, the gospel teaches us that it is necessary to give up control and to hand it over to the Lord. That's the paradox of the Christian faith. To raise up, we must get lower. To gain more, we're to give more away. Jesus' lordship is key. And we need to remember that as we look at this passage. We need to remember that Jesus is Lord. He rules, he reigns, and he is sovereign. And if he's the Lord of creation, Lord of the church, and Lord of the Christian, then he certainly should be Lord of me. And that's the framework that we look at these verses in. So chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 18 says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. I'm tempted just to leave it there. But she's given me a dirty look, so I can't just leave it there. And often at first it's misused, misaligned, isn't it? Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. But in this context, the Greek understanding of that word that is used for submission is not a ruling over and a giving up. In a sense, it's obedience. It's done in the framework that Jesus is Lord, that he has set up certain relationships that enable us to flourish and to grow. Because that is quickly followed by verse 19, where it says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. But so often that verse 18 of wives submit is misused because it said, you should just do exactly what I'm telling you to do because I'm the one that's in control here. But if verse 19 is taken that you love your wife as and do not be harsh with them, or as he says in the letter to the Ephesians, love your wives as Christ first loved the church, that's a whole different dimension. Christ's love for the church was complete, total, and utter sacrifice. So my devotion, my love for the love of my life, should be complete, total and utter sacrifice and devotion, which creates an atmosphere that enables Shirley to listen as we journey together. Because it is a partnership, it's a journeying together. So listen up, here comes verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. That means I can play the parent card. That's what I'm accused of every so often, you know. Huh, you're playing the parent card. I won't be allowed to get away with that. How do you get away with it? See what I mean? But I'm the parent. And that's called the parent card. But it's not because we want to, and you'll see that as we come on to the next verse as well. But it's a sense, actually, that the world and the culture that we live in today has taken that verse and completely torn it apart. Actually, the world that we live in now says that a parent should react to what the child wants, no matter what it is that the child wants, whether we believe that it's right for the child or not, because it's what the child feels. But that is contrary to what this is particularly teaching, because as a parent, we here parents, have a responsibility to raise up our children, like we've just unveiled, to train a child in the way they should go, so when they're old, they will not depart from it. There's an awesome responsibility within that. And sometimes it might feel harsh, and sometimes it might feel difficult that a parent is saying a certain thing to you. But we pray that that is done because it's viewed as the best thing in that moment for that relationship. Because actually, verse 21 says something else to us as parents. Well, actually, it says fathers, so it's much more specific. Do not embitter. Another translation says, exacerbate your child, or they'll become discouraged. So I am not, that's very dangerous because we're going to have to live all these things out now. I am not to say and to do things that will simply exacerbate my children just for the sake of doing them, or saying them because I know that it will wind them up. Not that I'd be accused of winding anybody up. We'll read verse 20 again. Children, obey your parents. Could you be quiet? So see how verse 18 and 19 go together? Because it's a relationship. Do you see how verses 20 and 21 go together? Because they're in relationship. And each of those relationships are done within the framework that he is Lord of the church, Lord of creation, Lord of the Christian. He rules, he reigns, and he is sovereign. That he is the Lord over me and you. Because relationships are key. We know that. We cannot live without relationships. And how we live our relationships out will share and show who Jesus is with us and in us. Verse 22 says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Written in a different context, in a different time. The slaves were not simply to do something because they thought someone was watching them. But as a Christian, and I've spoken to the slaves who were Christians, they were to do it as if the master wasn't even watching. chapter 4, verse 1, in that relationship thing again, tells masters to provide for your slaves what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Wives and husbands, fathers and children, slaves and masters, all in relationship, interdependent on each other, are to ensure that those relationships work together. And in chapter 3, verse 23, it says this, and this is partly key to everything that we do. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for men. Since you know it, you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. And anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. Whether you're the Lord Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in Northern Ireland, whether you're principal, headmaster, whether you're retired or a student, whether you provide services in the community, whether you stand with a dog collar on, whether you volunteer in an organization, or whether you live in a street, whether you're in relationship with another person, within a family, or within a church, we are to do it all as if we are serving Jesus Christ. That's the challenge. That's the thought that needs to be forefront in our minds, our hearts, and our very being. So what can I get out of this? What am I going to look like in this? What purpose will this serve? It's as if we do it as if the only person there was Jesus, in recognition of all that he has already done for us. He is everything. He is in everything. He is over everything. He is eternally supreme. So how do we live that life? Well, the Bible actually never leaves us hanging. Chapter 4, verse 2 says this. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so we proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be seasoned and always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders, making most of every opportunity, letting your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. It takes time, it takes practice, it takes hard work to change from an old way to a new way, but it's a necessity. And we're here to live out Jesus Christ in this place. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Thank you for all that you are, all that you have given to us. May our conversations be full of grace. May our words be seasoned with salt. And as others look to us, may they see Jesus Christ. that we might be pointers, adverts, notice boards for him. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Let's pray together as we finish. Great God, you're one God. You bring together what is scattered and you mend what is broken. Yes, with the scattered peoples of the earth, we may be one family of your children. Bind up all our wounds and heal us in spirit. May we be renewed as disciples of Jesus Christ, our Master and our Saviour, that we might live the victorious life. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen.